Tonight, we check in with Pretty Late Pal and newly published author Holly Simon. Then we preview the upcoming party with our friends from the Irish Heritage Center. And finally, we discuss a tragic story with Tribune reporter Jeremy Gorner. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. I am live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I don't think I can actually hear my own show right now. So if everybody could just talk around me,
can you
I'll
hear
just
me?
Sort of blather on for a few moments.
No, she can't hear
I'm
me.
Sure there's something I'm supposed to hit, like, oh, on and on. All right, then. So just turn those on.
Can you hear us?
Now I can.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. We had to do, during the Blackhawks game, sometimes things get adjusted down here, and I'm afraid to push any buttons without perhaps the supervision of someone like a Mr. Craig Collins, our producer.
Are you afraid that you're just going to turn off the Blackhawks?
I don't want to break the station.
That's... I also couldn't hear the show, and my little like power thing was unplugged over here.
Is that what it is? See, yeah. It doesn't seem like a big deal.
That was so weird.
Like, me and Rob are going to have a show.
Exactly. Yeah, was... Well, the thing is, you could have a show, but I would still be talking during it. So
right. We would just improvise around that.
Exactly.
I couldn't hear the music I was talking over for that intro. Did that go okay?
I don't know. I didn't.
Sounded good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Sounded
cool.
Good.
Perfect.
Solid. Thanks, very guys. Solid.
This is how like the presidential debate should go. Like no one can hear anybody else's. Like they should all be in like booths separated from each other. They can't.
Yeah, soundproof booths.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
That way they can't cut each other off.
Bernie, please respond to Hillary's last comment. You know, I'm going to guess that she talked about
yes!
this.
Oh, that would be great because I saw him wanting to jump in on one of her answers to something about global warming. But yeah, it was I tried to do a little bit of fact checking on any of the answers they gave. And I give up. Rob, we've invited many people from all the campaigns to come on the show. Hillary's campaign has responded by we wanted to see if Hillary would come on the show.
Sure.
Craig, who are we getting from the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Hold on. Let me click some stuff. We are getting one of her senior people.
Yes. Does she actually talk to anybody?
I don't know that she has. I know
she
that
hasn't yet. No, we that yeah. would be that would be a get.
Well, we asked for Steve Cochran because not Steve Cochran. We asked for you know what? We could talk to Steve Cochran because he's spoken to Bernie Sanders.
We will talk with Deputy Communications Director Christina Shackey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I believe that's a
That's how some say it
from the Clinton
campaign.
Okay. Yeah. And Bernie Sanders, who appeared on Steve Cochran's show.
Yes, we contacted him.
Yes, because Kevin Powell and all the folks from the Steve Cochran show were gracious enough to give us contact information.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing on that, Craig?
They cannot make that interview work.
Okay.
But they did offer us someone else who's in town who's not connected to the campaign.
That was very generous of them. Hey, we got a guy.
Somebody?
Yeah.
It's the former president of the NAACP, Ben Jealous.
See, that sounds like a prank.
Name.
We'll give you Ben Jealous.
J-E-A-L-O-U-S.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'll
take it. Wikipedia'd him. He seems interesting.
Did it tickle?
Yeah.
Him?
Yeah, it tickled. Oh, we also did reach out to the Trump campaign.
Yes. How's that going?
They ignored us.
Okay. We've also reached out to some of the other local campaigns.
Yeah, we have.
We haven't heard from anybody.
Not a lot, no.
That happens.
That's
Justin Kaufman's getting everybody.
Right.
And that's all right. Well, you know what? We'll talk about you. We don't need you to have the conversation.
I think it's the hour. It's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. I think it's just the hour.
Okay.
Right. I mean, maybe
voters don't stay up late?
Come on.
I believe, according to our numbers, quite a few of them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
38
Absolutely.
States and parts of Canada, AM travels later at night.
Yeah, I'm reaching actually a lot more territory.
We're all over the place
You
right
should
now.
Get those people that I saw on my who should I vote for list.
Oh, yes.
I have no idea who they were.
Jill Stein, wasn't that one of them?
You should get that person
Party.
And Jim Johnson or whatever
I like that
was.
Because now that we've offered an invitation to some of the candidates that we do recognize, now, if we get anybody else, we don't owe anybody anything. We've already invited you. We've offered you equal time.
I'm actually right now emailing Cruz and Rubio, too, just so we make sure to cover that.
Yes, please. Yeah. Just so that we don't get in any trouble.
Right.
Equal time.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take anybody.
Come on the show.
If you're running for president.
Can you get that person that wears the boot on its head? On his head? Have you seen that? I think he's in New York.
I don't know what's happening.
he's one of those people running for mayor who's wearing a boot on his head.
You know, given Rubio's current situation, I think he'd want to do about as many interviews as humanly possible.
Yeah, I don't think he hasn't done Cochran's show. Kasich has done Steve Cochran's show. He was saying that he was not going to lower himself to the sort of demeanor that Trump has brought to the, you know, the tone that Donald Trump is being. The whole idea they're talking about their genitalia is so bizarre to me.
That was a little weird, yeah.
Well, just one guy.
Just, you know what they say about it, the size? No, but Rubio sort of insinuated it, and then Trump said, trust me, I'm well, whatever, I'm well endowed, was basically the
Maybe I'll resend my request to Trump with clarification on his genitalia size.
Oh, yes, please.
Well, yeah. Shouldn't we be asking Melania about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, get her.
Ooh.
Or, you know what? I'm actually quite curious mm-hmm. about the kids.
Okay.
Ivanka, and I'm more curious about Ivanka.
Okay.
Because I Any would kids? Love to know her. No, but his kids, okay. the Trump kids. I
we
would
can't
love
get...
to know her, how she backs up her dad.
Well, one of his ex-wives has said that she's not going to comment neither favorably nor negatively about Donald Trump for the benefit of her child, of their child, which kind of sounds like she got bad things to say.
Oh, totally. No, you know, I'm just... Because she's standing, at least the kids, they're all standing up there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, do you guys really believe what he's saying? Or are you just there because he's your dad?
Well, and I don't, but I mean, like, does anybody believe what he's, I guess people believe what he's saying? They like what he's saying? I mean, if it's your dad and you want to protect your inheritance, I guess you would just kind of go along with it.
I mean, I could believe the boys because mm-hmm. they kind of seem like morons.
Mm-hmm.
But Ivanka, I feel like she's got a good head on those shoulders.
Do you ever go shoe shopping, Esmeralda, and see the Ivana Trump shoes and just go, I can't.
Ivanka.
Is it Ivanka? Are those her shoes?
Ivana is the mom.
Oh, so the daughter has the shoe line? I thought it was yes. the mom that had the shoe. I don't know.
That's his daughter.
I can't buy the shoes.
Because they're so tall?
Because they say Trump on them.
Oh, yeah, that I can't do
it's
that.
It's weird. It's just
I'll buy Jessica Simpson shoes.
And even those I can't as much. They're just, I don't know. It's like, don't you have enough? Although I guess any shoe designer, don't they have enough? It went a weird way, guys. Both the men just stepped out of the conversation because I went with shoes.
Well, you get like a Bernie Birkenstock.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That'd be a good
one. You would make some sensible
feel
shoes.
Feel the Bernie Birkenstock.
Like on the
Maybe.
Straps, feel the burn.
Nobody mm-hmm. should. He should go with the Born.
You no, see
the Born
yeah.
shoes? Yeah. The O, the mm-hmm. weird O.
I like it.
You should team
BJ
up with them.
Weirdo RN.
Mm-hmm. See? So what fashion line should all the candidates have, right? So we got Birkenstocks for Bernie. You've got you know, a comfortable low, I think a kind of a square heel for Hillary.
Like Allen Edmonds for Trump.
There you go. Yeah, Craig.
I have to name shoes now. A sneaker?
A sneaker for who? Which candidate?
For the guy who wears sneakers a lot.
I feel like Ted Cruz would wear a
yeah,
sneaker.
That's the one.
Like a nurse,
one.
Like a nurse sneaker.
What did you say for Hillary? Comfortable flats.
Yeah, kind of a or like a low heel for Hillary.
Yeah,
yeah,
a chunky heel.
I don't know what happened. I did this. It's my
Something
fault.
Sturdy.
Who wears Crocs? Who amongst the candidates could you see
Jeb
wearing
Bush.
A pair?
Maybe a flip flop.
I would see one of the like Rubio maybe thinking yeah. he would be a little Christian, a little Christ-like, mm-hmm. wearing a sandal type thing.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, I'm participating.
He did very well. Very, very, very well. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. We're already slap happy. That's what's happening. Our primaries are coming up. Actually, you can vote right now. You can do early voting. I think I'm going to vote on the day of the primaries. I don't know. There's something about the day of. Seems more like it's festive.
I like going.
Yes.
With all the other people.
We should have a primary night party.
Okay.
What should we do?
I don't know.
We need to have.
Do we have to have like primary themed things?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, like prime steak.
Right.
Prime rib. I mean, prime rib.
Primary colors.
I don't need to. I don't eat red meat anymore. So I don't even know what it's called anymore. Prime
should
rib.
People vote for their like party snack?
Prime New York strip. Isn't that a thing?
Am yeah, I think that's a thing.
All right then. Primary colors. I like. Yes. The mm-hmm. what'd you say, Craig?
They can vote for their party snack.
Mm.
And then we'll give them the one they voted for.
Their party's snack.
Nice.
And then, you know, like Chex Mix could be a playoff of someone's name. You figured that out.
Is that an incentive to vote? Is that, right? You get Chex Mix, like party snacks?
I like the way that Esmeralda comes up with ideas.
Yeah.
Chex Mix is somebody.
You go. You go. Mm-hmm. Your turn.
I put most of it out
Well,
there.
Chex because you checked a box, right? So that
oh,
works. Ooh, yeah. See what we
oh,
did?
Wow.
I'm saying.
So everybody gets Chex Mix.
Yes.
This party's already really confusing.
Do you know when my husband still had a daytime job? He's now a stay-at-home father. He was let go in 2008 during the recession. Long story. Anyway, he would often take the day off after election nights, like primaries, and because he would always want to see the results coming in. So he knew he was going to be up late, and he'd be shot the next day. So he would actually in college, we used to stay up late to watch all the returns. I'm a dork. I'm surrounded by dorks. This is the kind of stuff that is exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
And I was like, this is such wall-to-wall coverage now. You can follow it all on Twitter and social media. This is a huge election season. It's just crazy because there is so much at stake. There's not just the presidential election. There's the House. You know, there's a lot at the federal level. In the state of Illinois, we have the House of Representatives. Every seat is up for grabs, right? Although a lot of people aren't even being primaried. There aren't that many. I don't know. No one will come on the show to tell us if they're running against anybody. They don't seem to think it matters. But I know that we tried getting a hold of Juliana Stratton.
We did that too, yeah.
Who is running against Representative Ken Duncan, who is one of the more contentious representatives in sort of
She even got endorsed by Obama. So,
but apparently that's enough. She doesn't have to be on WGN.
Now, by the way, we got a text from the 724 Earth Shoes. Something about Earth Shoes.
Earth Shoes. So which candidate would wear Earth? I guess Jill Stein. Yeah. She's the Green Party candidate.
For Jed.
For Jed? Oh, it's Jeb. He's out of the race already.
Yeah. Jed is not not running for anything. And then it said something about how I wouldn't know what those are.
Oh, Earth Shoes. I believe, and maybe that texter can get back to us and respond to this, I believe they actually have almost like the heel is like lower than the front of the foot, almost like you're on a backwards incline. Does that make sense?
Sure.
It's supposed to be good for your back or your knees.
They look like bowling shoes. I'm just looking at pictures, and they're just these hideous brown rectangles.
As Earth Shoes probably. That's the thing about comfortable shoes. They are not pretty.
Yeah, I've been searching for
the perfect
good-looking ones, and I found some, but they're expensive.
Yeah, that's the thing. And then you worry that they're comfortable in the store, but what if I get them home and now I've spent all this money and I wear them one day and they're not going to be comfortable?
Have you guys given up heels for a while? Have either of you just done that?
Like, no,
that,
did you see the smoking hot leopard print she's wearing tonight?
Yeah.
I have a few female friends that said it's okay to give them up for an amount of time. I don't know.
I haven't worn some in a while. I've been wearing boots, motorcycle boots and riding boots all winter. I have not. I have one pair of shoes that I have that I wear for my show when I know I'm going to talk about Declan. Because when I was pregnant, when I was a mom in the early years, it was kind of hard to get myself together. And then I went shoe shopping. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go splurge in a pair of shoes. And at the Carson's, they have this Yellow Dot sale where it's marked down as low as they're possibly going to go. And there are these six inch platform heels. They're ridiculous heels. And they're gold glitter with taffeta ribbons. They're absurd, Esmeralda. They're absolutely, I have pictures of them on my Facebook.
That.
Well,
okay.
They're on my Facebook page. People take pictures of them. So I was walking around the shoe department at Carson's and I just kept making laps because I was like, I could walk in them. They're actually not that uncomfortable because the platform under the toe box was pretty good, which oddly enough makes it easier to walk.
Oh, sounds so much better.
But I was like, even at $14.97, I'm not going to wear these with.
What That's steal.
I know, it's like they were making me buy them. Like they're paying me to take them. But I still thought, well, these are a pair of shoes I'm never going to wear. And I kept walking around the shoe department, and there was this woman who was sitting down watching me. She's about 80 years old, and finally she goes, "Buy the shoes. There'll be plenty of time to wear the ugly shoes when you're my age." So I bought the shoes, and I wear them when I know I'm going to do a nice big stage show because they're just so – it doesn't matter what I wear with them. They are the sort of centerpiece.
How many times have you worn them now?
They're pretty.
They're very pretty, but they're ridiculous. They have taffeta bows on them.
How many times total?
Dozens.
Oh, look at
dozens.
That. Yeah, paid for themselves.
14, yeah. Like 5 cents a time now.
Is that how you calculate whether or not to buy shoes, how many times you'll wear them?
Well, I'm doing that thing now. Remember we were talking about this book, The Art, or something about tidying up? And you thank an item, something you're going to discard. You thank it for its service.
Oh.
And then you let it go. I've been trying to do that, and I think about how many times I've worn something. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I have not worn it in a year. I did not wear it all winter. It's time to thank it for its service of cluttering my closet and let it go. So, yes, I sometimes will think about how many times I'm going to wear something.
That's sort of a tongue-in-cheek thank you right there.
Yes, for cluttering.
Yeah, you should really thank it for all the times you wore it, right?
Sometimes I haven't worn it enough.
Okay. To.
I don't think of how many times I'm going to wear something. I think more of how many times have I worn something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
No.
Kind of.
That's not what you're going for.
I don't even know how to calculate for my clothes.
Well, jeans you know you're going to wear.
I wear stuff when it's clean, and when it's dirty, I clean it.
Yes.
That's how I make all my decisions.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you have a washer dryer in your building?
It's directly below us. So it feels like it's ours.
Okay.
Everybody uses it, but like I can hear the buzzer when it goes off.
Okay.
So that kind of stinks.
So how often is it taken?
Well, there's only like four other people that use it, four other units.
Okay.
So it's and there's actually five washers and dryers.
Oh,
there.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a huge, I think they intended it to be for more people, but
yes,
it's just the few of us.
Well, because I remember, I mean, that's like whether you're in the dorms or in an apartment building and someone yeah. who just forgets about their laundry and leaves it there. And then you're stuck with like, do I take it out and put wet laundry on top of the washing machine? Because mm-hmm. you can't put it in the dryer because what if something in there is not for the dryer?
Exactly correct. It's very confusing, but now
how long was it there?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. If you go down there and like 6 hours later, how long do you give somebody who has left their wet laundry in the machine? How long do you give them before you just slap it on top of the machine?
Half hour.
Half hour.
Depends on what I have to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? You didn't remember that you had clothes down there?
I know.
I get so angry about that.
I know. To etiquette. There is washing machine
exactly.
etiquette. I know.
Especially when other people are monitoring the time closely because of that.
Yeah. I know. You're trying to get on with your life. Let's
just
get on with it.
Chuck your clothes off.
That's right. Just chuck it, Craig. Just chuck it. More after this. You're listening Pretty Late, and we are excited to welcome back to the studio our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center. Here to preview some music for Saturday's festivities is Kathleen Keene. To say too, Craig, we've always had the best of luck when it comes to, and I'm not being silly when I say that, but when we have our Irish musicians, but whenever Kathy O'Neill brings us some lovely guests, they do a great job. But I have to say, and this is going to sound so corny, when Kathleen is playing, she looks angelic a little bit, and it was you couldn't see it from my angle. I took a couple pictures, but you smiled sweetly, and then went back to playing, and you really seem to feed off of that music. It just seems to speak to you as you're playing.
Yes, well, I grew up in Chicago, and I took lessons from some really, really wonderful established Irish musicians here in Chicago, Liz Carroll and Mary Meyer, and I grew up steeped in the Irish music community here, mm-hmm. and my parents are from Ireland, so I first went over there when I was four, so I kind of grew up there, so it really is a big part of my life, so...
Yeah, no, it definitely, and because the community that we grew up in, the far northwest side of Chicago, mm-hmm. I know you grew up near Harlem and Irving and
yes,
Norwich.
The hip.
By the hip. I know. It's so funny. I don't know how old you are, and we don't have to go into any numbers or years that we used to hang out at the hip. But it is like Rolling Stones, obviously. Mm-hmm. Was it Rolling Stone, the record store?
Rolling Stone, yeah, absolutely.
And, well, how about this? The Axl Roller Rink.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so then we are about the same.
Yes, we are.
Kathy, were you from the neighborhood, too? Or the area? Oh, hold on one second. Let me find your microphone. Here you go. Yes?
Exit 145 West Orange, New Jersey. Sorry.
Wait, have we discussed this before, that she's from New Jersey?
No, we have not.
Oh, you have to put your... Can you hear him? Put your headphones on if you can find some over there.
Yeah, you got to... Yeah, I'm also from New Jersey.
He is. Craig is also from New Jersey.
I'm from Hazlitt.
From where?
Hazlitt, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a question for every guest that's from New Jersey. This seems to be a very passionate conversation.
I'm very excited.
Kathy, our lakefront, would you consider our beautiful shore to be what constitutes beaches?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, there's a New Jersey native who says that we do.
So if you went to, the sand and then the lake area, you would call that going to...
I would say going to the lake.
Okay, cool.
Oh,
growing up, I would say going to the shore. But what I took the question to be was, is it as spectacular? And it is.
It is. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
But it's not lovely.
But they're not beaches?
There we go.
Yeah, she is thinking about it now.
Roping her in.
I mean, mm-hmm. when I was growing up in New Jersey, you had to kind of dodge the jellyfish and the syringes.
That second one, we didn't need to mention the second one.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned that before. Uh-huh. Craig has always shook his head at me, but now we're getting
stung by a jellyfish one time.
And
so
not
I
a syringe,
the,
so you got lucky. Because it's much easier to recover from the...
You can see those.
All right. Well, have you ever, Kathleen, have you ever been someplace with jellyfish? Because it's very strange if you're a young girl that's grown up in Chicago.
I have not. I
oh,
have to
it's
say
weird.
No, I haven't.
They're
no.
very menacing. I mean, like, even though they're just like, they're translucent, and but they're kind of ripply, and you know that they're dangerous and stingy. And
like some of your high school boyfriends.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you're not wrong about that. What stories have you been listening to? Because they're all true. But yeah, so have you had the opportunity to go to Ireland, Kathleen?
Yes. Both my parents are from County Galway, Ireland, and I went over when I was 4 years old. And it was great because my grandparents' house at that time, they didn't have any electricity mm-hmm. or indoor plumbing. So I really got to witness that. Yeah,
experience.
That
wow.
was interesting. The outhouse, going to the outhouse.
Oh, man.
In the middle of the night.
How was the weather? Because that seems like that one, it's bad enough leaving the house.
Right.
Because you're like, I think I can sleep. I mean, you know what? I'm going to hold it.
Right. It was very cold.
Yes.
I remember that. Yeah.
That's the other thing is that like, because I'm the kind of person that when I get cold, it makes me want to go even more. So I would probably go to the outhouse. You know, take care of business, go back, and then get cold on the walk back and be like, I gotta go again.
Yeah.
This seems to be a very vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So you've had the opportunity, I'm guessing, then to visit many times.
Yes, I've been there probably at least 20 times anyways, yeah.
And have you played in Ireland?
I have, yes.
And what is that like?
It's great. You know, I was lucky enough to learn from a lot of the local musicians in mm-hmm. the town that my parents were from. And of course, I mean, anywhere you go, there's Irish musicians. So there's a ton of cities that have sessions, live sessions, like we just started at the Irish American
yes.
Heritage Center on Thursday nights. And so the sessions are just so much fun. Basically, we'll have a couple of local musicians hosting the session, and then anybody who plays Irish music is welcome to join in, play a tune, sing a song, some dancing, and of course the pub is open.
Yes.
Pub opens at 6 p.m. on Thursdays, so the pub and restaurant are open. And we do have our very first radio program out of the Irish American Heritage Center called The Crack.
Nice.
With Cooney and Keene, and of course Cooney is our new president Gene Cooney. So hello, Gene.
Hi,
Gene.
You're
listening.
Apparently it's too late for you to come in. The previous president came in every single time the Irish American Heritage Center was represented.
Our president is an undertaker.
Okay, so he's busy right now.
I don't think he's working right now, but I just want to let you know that he's an undertaker.
Where is he? Can I ask where he's an undertaker?
The Cooney Funeral Home on the northwest side.
That makes sense. That would be the Cooney Funeral Home. All right, then that's good to know. If I have any situations, I know where to call now.
Yeah, you'll get a discount if you book early.
They're always busy, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
10% off.
Erratic hours. You know what? My mom would appreciate that. Yes, Craig.
You get a discount if you book early.
Yep.
Like, how early do you have to book?
Okay, here's an interesting thing, Craig. My parents both prepaid for their cremations so that they could lock in an early price. Yes.
Wow.
I don't. And then when this is so dark, but as long as we're talking about undertakers, yes,
they paid for their own. They didn't pay for each other's.
Well, maybe they did. Maybe they gifted each other.
Like, either way, that feels weird. I wouldn't want to stand there and do my own, but I wouldn't want someone else to feel like they need to go pay for that.
What do you want it to be, a surprise?
Yes, that's supposed to be a surprise.
Well, people do buy their own lots. People do, you know, prepay for their lots in advance, you know.
Right. By the way, one of the great things about being Irish and Mexican is that I grew up with two cultures that have such a tremendous relationship with death. I mean, we sort of have this, we not embrace it, but the Irish have, I think, a sense of humor about it. Because yes. there just isn't, you know, there's, what is it, at an Irish wake, there's just one less drunk? I'm sorry, is that too much of a stereotype?
The truth, actually, no.
Yeah. It's just, and with my mom, when my father passed, like from the Mexican side of my family, there is always like this very somber, you know, the Day of the Dead and mm-hmm. paying homage. But my mother, when my dad passed away, said that she would talk to him, which was weird for me. And she told me one time, she goes, I was talking to your father last night. And I was like, oh, okay. And she goes, he told me he wants me to give you $10,000 from the insurance policy. And I was like, really? Because he told me it was 20. But but there is like this sort of, you know, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So right. I look forward to meeting George Cooney of the Cooney Funeral Home.
Gene.
Yeah. Or him too. Oh, yeah, George Clooney. George Clooney. Now I'm disappointed. More after this on 720 WTF. You are listening Pretty Late, and we are so thrilled to have our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center back in studio with us. They have some great festivities this Saturday and on St. Patrick's Day, as well as some more, you know, every Thursday night in the Fifth Province. Right now, here is Kathleen Keene. It's wonderful. It's Kathleen Keene, and she is performing on St. Patrick's Day as part of the festivities at the Irish American Heritage Center, as well as sessions on Thursday nights.
Sessions every single Thursday. We start the evening off at 6 p.m., pub and restaurant open, and we have our radio program, The Crack with Cooney and Keene, from 6 to 7, so we tape in front of a live audience.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then it airs on Saturdays, 8 to 9 p.m. on 1240 a.m.
Oh, wonderful.
WSBC. And then the session starts at 7. Sessions roughly 7 to 9, so it's a nice early night, and like I said, it's free. There's no admission. You get to hear some great music, and there's also a free workshop from 6:30 to 7 for anybody who's learning Irish music or people who just want to maybe just listen and see what it's like.
So. Well, and what? So my son plays the guitar, but he's trying to figure out what instrument to try next to sort of expand on what he's doing. So, what would you recommend for someone who's like about 12 years old and interested? Do you think? I mean, this is a
tin whistle. So that's what I was playing. It's very similar to a recorder. You know, just has six holes. So, I say that the tin whistle, when it comes to Irish music, is one of the easiest instruments to get started on.
Nice. Okay.
You know? And then, of course, like anything else, if you really want to become good, you got to put the time in practicing, you know.
But and how old were you when you started, when you picked up a fiddle?
I was 10. I started the whistle at 7 and then the fiddle at 10. And by the way, if you do want to buy a tin whistle, we do have the Irish American Heritage Center gift shop, which sells tin whistles. We do have a gift shop that's open. On Thursdays, anyways, it's open
during
for
the sessions.
Oh, yes, beautiful gift shop. And we sell some really great clothing and jewelry, always getting a new stock. So they've got some really nice things. And it's just a great place to kind of stop in and visit. And
I buy some of my favorite things, whether it's in the gift shop at the Irish American Heritage Center or during Irish Fest, which brings us also to the events coming up in the summer as well. But first, before we go to that, this Saturday, the events start at noon and go all the way to midnight?
Yes, we start at 1 o'clock.
At 1,
midnight.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'll be in line at noon.
Yeah,
apparently.
We've got music and dance on four stages. We've got groups like the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band at 3 o'clock. They're great.
Yes.
Our choir, the Irish Heritage Singers, at 1:30. We've got five or six dance schools coming in. We'll also have some lessons from the Trinity Irish Dancers, so kids between the ages of 3 and 12 can learn some steps, and they don't have to bring any certain shoes. They can do it in socks.
Agreed.
And they'll be giving lessons at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock.
Well, next year when they do that again, Griffin's going to start having to lie about how old he is. But this year he gets right under the wire at 12.
So it's just a great day. We've got our museum, our art gallery, and our library open, so people can come in and learn about genealogy, browse through our museum collection, and we even have an art show going on, and then we also have vendors selling crafts.
And I have told this story before on the show that last year for the St. Patrick's Day festivities and the Irish Fest during the summer, people there have been so kind when it comes to us hanging out with Declan, because in the auditorium, he doesn't want to sit down. He wants to go toward the stage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He wants to be close.
Mm-hmm.
And I have video of him like just being so drawn to the dancing and the music. And he turns to the camera and he's looking at me like with this look that says, can you believe this?
Awesome.
And everyone gives us room. Everyone is very kind. So it is a wonderful event for everybody, regardless of your heritage. heritage, regardless of, you know, where you are in life. It's a great time to spend with a lot of really wonderful people, great music, and great food.
And the neat thing about the Heritage Center and, you know, the Fifth Province and all the activities that are going on, it's really family oriented. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's, you know, the Fifth Province, you're not just going to a bar, you know, you're going to this, like, kind of like somebody's, like, little living room
yes.
with a fireplace, and you can eat and drink, and just all the events going on the 12th, and of course even the 17th. It's a place for families to go, because a lot of times your other options are just going to bars where you have to be
exactly
21, which we barely get into these days, right?
Yeah. Well, look, there is there are festivities, there's enjoying some cocktails, but it's I've never seen anybody get out of hand. Because I don't know if it's because we're professionals at this. We know how to pace ourselves.
And it's such a large building. I think a lot of people, if they haven't been there before, they don't understand how many stages of music and dance until they see that it's 86,000 square feet.
Yeah.
It looks like Hogwarts.
It does.
And it's just this beautiful old building, and that you can go and look at our museum collection and then go downstairs and get a pint and then go into the auditorium and see kids who are 6 and 7 dancing.
That's right.
So it's a nice mix. I say it's a good way to see what it is that we do all year long.
Yeah.
Is to get like a sneak preview on that day.
And then come back on Thursday.
Exactly. And on Thursday, Kathleen will be performing with Peter Brady at 1 o'clock in the Fifth Province.
Yep. Is St. Patrick's Day on Thursday?
Yes.
God, I can't think of my calendar days anymore. It's all getting, March is getting away from me. It's going so
quickly. But be ready for July, because you're coming out.
Yes, we are going to have a comedy night at the Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center. The fest is July 8th, 9th, and 10th. I've been going every year since Griffin was 2. So for the last 10 years, I've been going. Mm-hmm. How long has the fest been running?
This will be our 31st year.
I absolutely love it. And actually, the first comic I contacted to invite to perform with me, because I'll be performing on Friday night. I think it's at 8 o'clock.
Yes, in the auditorium.
In the auditorium. And they asked me to invite other comics. So I immediately went through my list of Irish comics. Not that anyone would think of me as Irish, but my dad was second generation Irish. Maggie O'Doyle came here looking for a better life. And my mother, who was from Mexico. So I bring both of those stories of growing up in Chicago. But Joe Kilgallen was the first comic I called. He grew up in the neighborhood. That's why I thought of him first. But he won't be in town. So we do have Janie Dugan, who I just confirmed, and James Vickery, who is Irish and Polish, which I think works for the neighborhood as well.
Yes. Now, Patty, you overlooked one fabulous Irish comedian at the Heritage Center.
Yes, I don't want to miss out on on George Clooney. I mean, wait, what? Sorry, Jean.
Jean has a show coming up on Saturday, March 24th, or 26th, Saturday, March 26th, and it's a comedy. He's going to be opening up the show, and there's a singer on after him, who's going to be doing some Frank Sinatra songs.
I have to go to that show, too. I would love to come to that.
Anyways.
Is it an all-ages show?
Yes.
Mine
is a fundraiser for our library for us to get new technology up there.
Very cool. And so that's going to be March 26th.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a musician doing, or singer, doing mm-hmm. Bing Crosby covers and a lot mm-hmm. of classics.
Yes.
And then Gene Cooney will be doing stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And then for our show, I'll make sure that the other comics know that it's also all ages, because we're not going to be like at the door, you know. Because I did the Beverly Arts Center. We did a show there for holidays. And people were wondering, like, how I was going to make that work. They get this idea that comics are dirty. I absolutely can. I can do a late show Saturday, and I can do a church show as well. So, yeah, we will make sure that it is all PG. Or at least, you know, yeah, PG's fine. Yeah. Because every time you say, like, PG-13, that's a slippery slope toward, well, what counts? So it will be a family-friendly show. Again, that's on July 8th. But more importantly, more immediate, are the Thursday night sessions at the Fifth Province at the Irish American Heritage Center. The festivities this Saturday and on March 26th, Gene Cooney and his comedy show. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I am joined by Tribune reporter Jeremy Gorner, who covers the police department for Chicago. I mean, not mm-hmm. like, you don't do suburban police departments as well, do
no,
you?
No, usually not, no.
You got enough to cover with CPD.
Yes.
This is one of the biggest stories last year. I was just in California telling someone about how there was a 9-year-old boy who was executed by gang members. It was a story that, really caught the attention and gripped the heart. I mean, it tore people's hearts apart, I think, to know that this little boy was lured into an alley and executed. What has happened in the last few days?
Well, Patty, it's been revealed basically that one of the suspects who they had been onto for a long time, uh-huh. along with the other two suspects, he was locked up November 16th on an unrelated gun charge, along with Corey Morgan, okay. who was the first person who was charged in Tyshawn's murder. And according to authorities, this second suspect, his name's Dwight Boone Doty. He's also a member of this faction of the Black Pea Stones called Bang Bang Gang Terror Town, they okay. call him. We'll get to that later,
yeah.
about all the gang factions. He was allegedly bragging about killing Tyshawn in the presence of at least one other inmate, talking about how he talking about just his involvement in the murder. So, and this is all according to sources, the police department, the state's attorney's office, just so you know, nobody would go on the record confirming any of this. This is all from sources, though.
As far as there being a informant?
Correct, yeah, okay. yeah.
Right, because, I mean, that person would be in danger, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the... I certainly know that that's how they feel about
right.
it.
Right, because there's no way to find out.
The police and the state's attorney, that is, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and they would want to protect them, and, you know, we have no way of knowing if there was a deal in order to,
correct.
You know, sort of enhance the situation, because if they mm-hmm. had someone wearing a wire... That would take a lot of, you know, a lot of convincing.
Right, right. And basically what this guy did, from what we've been able to gather, is that, you know, he learned about what Doty was telling him, in the Cook County Jail.
Right.
So he went to authorities. He went to the Cook County Sheriff's personnel and said, hey, look, this guy is saying X, Y, and Z. Chicago police detectives on the case were notified, determined that what this guy was saying was pretty credible.
Right.
So they got him, they got a court order for him to wear a wire, and him or her, I don't know.
Again,
the,
incredibly
dangerous. I don't know,
right.
you know, the gender of the,
sure.
probably a male because they're usually grouped together.
Right.
Obviously. And so all this stuff came out from what Doty was saying, mm-hmm. basically.
And even so much as he was writing lyrics to his song, bragging about
it. Yeah, I mean, the prosecutors were saying at his bond hearing that he was writing a rap song about the murder.
Okay.
And he had originally planned to torture Tyshawn by cutting off his fingers and his ears, which is, you know.
I mean, right.
Obviously, anybody that's just a, you know. Chills to your spine. Anyone who hears that detail,
right? I mean, it's gut wrenching enough that he executed a 9-year-old boy, and the fact that he has, you know, kind of almost sounds like he wishes he'd had the opportunity to torture this little boy. Mm-hmm. We already knew he was a savage, so and even the people I would imagine in jail, this is like a new level of disgusting
mm-hmm.
to other criminals,
right?
Which is perhaps why the informant came forward.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. No, it's bizarre.
Perhaps.
Or just wants an opportunity to get a better deal themselves.
That's, I mean, generally speaking, that's how it goes,
right.
usually. I mean, that level of detail we've been trying to get more of. It's everything's kind of trickling out. And I know as the case kind of progresses, you know, especially as it goes to trial, all that stuff will come out. But
was there anything in your mind when this, you know, when you started getting information about the charges that were coming,
mm-hmm.
about the timing of it? Because we are 1 week from the primaries for Anita Alvarez.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there I know on social media, and just even people on the beat who I've been interacting with in the last 48 hours
mm-hmm.
are, you know, saying that, hey, look, Jeremy, I'm an admitted cynic. I'll admit I'm a cynic, and I find it awfully coincidental that this is coming a week before the primaries. Now, one thing you got to keep in mind, too, is that Corey Morgan, the first defendant who was charged in Tyshawn's killing, there was a press conference for his, you know, announcing charges against him on the day that the Laquan McDonald protests were about to.
Really?
On Black Friday.
So that was gone.
Right. And I remember that I was at that press conference, and I had asked Superintendent McCarthy about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, clearly you've been on to Corey Morgan for a while, because at that point, you know, if you remember with Corey Morgan, he had been in the police station on two separate occasions.
Mm-hmm.
The police had wanted to talk to him about Tyshawn's killing, and they had to release him those previous two times.
They didn't have enough information.
Well, because he wouldn't talk to them,
okay.
Basically. And then on finally day after Thanksgiving, they announced charges against him, and that was the day of the Laquan protest. So I guess my point is that yeah, there were people then saying, oh well, this is to distract attention away from the Laquan McDonald protests,
right?
And similarly, now you have a week before the primary, people are saying the same thing about, oh well, this is almost to their benefit. Whether that's true, I don't know, but I'm just saying that there's a parallel there. There were people who were kind of cynical, thinking that, oh, there's got to be some kind of connection there.
Well, it's hard.
There's no way to prove that, of course.
There's no way to prove it, but it's hard to have faith when, you know, we don't know whether or not the Laquan McDonald video could have been released sooner, if it was impacted at all by the mayoral election, you know.
Right.
So, I think that, well, and how can Chicagoans not be cynical?
Right.
It's kind of
right.
That's what they've led us to, you know, is sort of occupy that space.
Of course. Yeah. But I mean, for the record, I don't want to accuse
them of
that.
No, you have not. And I knew that you would be, you know, you'd say I'm a journalist and you have any information to back that up.
Of course not. But there was talk, though, I remember, you know, during that, you know, there were people wondering that the timing of these charges are suspicious. And this time, this second time around, there's some out there who think the charges are also suspicious because of the primary.
Right. So, exactly.
Coming up.
And the suspect that's being charged right now, Doty is his name?
Dwight Boone Doty.
Okay.
Or Dwight Doty, as police, either way they've called him.
Doty. Well, he was in jail he was sentenced to 5 years for the charges. It was narcotics and guns, I think. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But he was released about almost just shy of 2 years,
mm-hmm.
2 months before he executed Tyshawn Lee.
Correct.
Now I'm mixing all of the stories.
It was 3 months before Tyshawn, 2 months before Brianna Jenkins.
Right. So this is a young woman who's 19 years old.
Yes.
Was in a car with a gang member.
Yeah.
Again, it was a situation where Doty was trying to was retaliation for other actions.
Correct. So I think just to kind of try to give the best synopsis I can here. Brianna Jenkins was in the car with a man who police have they're saying he's a rival gang member,
okay.
from the gang that Doty belonged to. And that gang is a faction of the Gangster Disciples. This victim, who was with Brianna Jenkins, who survived, called Killaward.
And the Disciples are one of the older gangs in Chicago.
Gangster Disciples are one of the older gangs in Chicago. So I guess just to kind of maybe do a rundown about how the whole Tyshawn Lee investigation began. These two gangs, you know, you have the Gangster Disciples and the Black Peace Stones, two of the oldest street gangs in Chicago.
Okay.
And largest, you know, historically. Like all big street gangs, a lot of them have branched off into factions over the years. The leaders of these gangs went to jail. I know that Rokan has talked about this a lot. I know he's studied this, and I've talked to him about this. So that's what happened in this case. So these large gangs branch off into factions. In this case, you have the Peace Stones have a faction called Terror Dome, or Bang Bang Gang Terror Dome, as the Cook County prosecutors called them, and the Gangster Disciples have Killaward. These two gangs are in the Auburn-Gresham neighborhood. They've been fighting for years. The police have been able to – they're investigating several shootings that have happened over the years, over the last 3 to 5 years maybe,
mm-hmm.
and several murders. So basically, recently, we'll talk about October 13th. There was a guy named Tracy Morgan who was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Morgan was a member of Terror Dome, Bang Bang Gang Terror Dome. And he was attending one of those gang call-ins that, and I know I've talked about this before on your show.
With the police department.
So
if they're on probation or...
Exactly. Chicago police, they have these things called gang call-ins where... anyone who's on parole, who's got a convicted felon, they try to reacclimate these people back into society by kind of saying, look, if you keep doing what you're doing, if you head down the same path that you did before, we're going to come hard on you, mm-hmm. come down hard on you. But there's a way out. We have, and they have a variety of speakers. They have police officials there. They have U.S. Attorney's Office there.
Motivational speakers.
Motivational speakers, grieving family members who've lost loved ones due to violence.
Do we have any sort of any way to determine if these have been effective? Or I guess it's sort of hard to quantify, isn't it?
It is hard to quantify. I know that there's been it's hard to quantify from in layman's terms.
Right.
I know that there is research out there that has suggested that it has been effective.
Okay.
I know that the I've talked to the one of the people who founded these call-ins, mm-hmm. who has pointed me to research that shows that.
Right, and keep trying is kind of,
yeah.
I don't want to cut you off because I know that you're going somewhere with Tracy Morgan and one of the call-ins. So let me take a quick break, and we are hanging out with Jeremy Gorner, who is the Chicago Police Department reporter for the Chicago Tribune, who covers the CPD, and unfortunately that means a lot of violence. And in this case, we are talking about one of the suspects that's being charged in the execution of Tyshawn Lee. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Chicago Tribune reporter Jeremy Gorner, who covers the Chicago Police Department. And in this situation, we're talking specifically about the execution of Tyshawn Lee and
Dwight Boone Doty.
I'm changing the names. You're the journalist. You have all the facts. Or as many as they'll give you.
As many.
Right? Well, and that's the thing. So we were talking about the call-ins that they try to have former, well, gang members who mm-hmm. have been in jail previously,
correct.
Who've been paroled, maybe on probation. And go ahead.
Right. So Tracy Morgan was at one of these call-ins mm-hmm. on October 13th. And as he was leaving, his mother was picking him up from the call-in. And as she's driving away, they're followed by a vehicle. As they get a little bit south, somebody opens fire into the car, kills Mr. Morgan, and his mother is the driver, and she's wounded in the arm.
Right.
So basically after that, Corey Morgan is, according to prosecutors, is basically vowing revenge, but he's basically saying, and this is all paraphrasing, that I'm going to go after grandmothers, mothers, kids.
Right.
I really don't care. And so obviously there were suspicions on the street that Killaward had something to do with this because the two gangs have been fighting. So 5 days later, October 18th, you have Brianna Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
who is sitting in a car with a man over by 78th and Honoree in Auburn Gresham. Police have said that he's a member, called him a member of Killaward.
Okay.
So what prosecutors are saying is that Boone Doty went to that car, saw him, figured he was a member of Killaward, and shot him, and in the process killed Brianna Jenkins, who police have stressed that was an innocent victim.
Right. She'd only gotten to know this other man in the car. They had met previously, like not that long.
Not that long, exactly.
And she was a nursing student. She mm-hmm. had a very young woman.
Right.
Okay, so this murder happens.
So that happens. And then, so that's October 18th. And then after that, basically, Morgan, Boone Doty, and a third suspect, according to prosecutors,
mm-hmm.
wanted to continue their spree of revenge on Killaward, on the gang. And
is there any information on how they locked into Tyshawn Lee? I mean, his father is a gang member. Did they, think that he was directly involved?
Yeah. I mean, the police have said that it's because of Tyshawn's father's gang ties mm-hmm. that led to all this.
Not that there's ever a reason to target a 9-year-old boy, but mm-hmm. in their minds, in their world of revenge, and this is what we do, they locked into this little boy who was on his way to his grandmother's house with the intent to torture him,
mm-hmm.
and they shot him point blank.
Right. He was at Dawes Park, 80th and Damon, and he was on a swing set mm-hmm. with a basketball.
Right.
And the three pull up in an SUV, and Boone Doty comes out, hangs out with him for a little bit, dribbles the ball, and says, "Hey man, I'll take you to the store, whatever.
Get some ice cream or something, whatever it is.
Treats, right. Some candy, who knows?" And mm-hmm. Tyshawn says, "I don't have any money." And allegedly, Boone Doty says, "Okay, well, I'll get you whatever you want." Mm-hmm. Again, this is according to prosecutors, and so they go. So he essentially lures him into that alley across from the park, And that's where he shoots Tyshawn, kills him, and makes his escape with
Corey Morgan
and mm-hmm. the other suspect, yeah.
Okay, and they don't know who the other suspect is.
Yeah, the other suspect's name, his name is Kevin Edwards, and he's wanted on a warrant.
Oh, they haven't?
He's still at large. There's a possibility that he might have fled out of state.
And this is something people talk a lot about, too, is truth in sentencing, because had Dwight Boone Doty served his full time, which was a 5-year sentence, mm-hmm. or at least more than the 2 years, he's not out in those 2 months the time it takes to kill Tyshawn Lee.
Right. I mean, you hear that a lot. I know Superintendent McCarthy, when he was running the department, always talked about that in reference to gun crimes.
Right.
You know, and that's the other thing, too, with Boone Doty, is that he's got that, you know, that 5-year sentence that he got for the drug and gun conviction. That was out of Sangamon County in central Illinois.
Right.
Where Springfield is, that area. He had also had a previous gun conviction where he had at least one previous gun conviction where he had been sentenced to state prison.
What is the, you know, if there is no immediate and lasting ramifications of these convictions, yeah, they're going to get out and just do it again. It doesn't seem to make any sense. And I can see where the police department's got to be frustrated. The state's attorney's office has to be frustrated.
They're frustrated. And
the
I know
the community has to be angry.
Right. And I know it's an issue, obviously, that there's a strong divide on. I mean, there's studies out there that show that these mandatory minimums for gun offenders may have no effect on crime, but obviously, you know, the powers that be, you know, in Chicago feel differently.
Right.
And a lot of cops I've talked to feel the same way, that, you know, stricter sentences may make a difference. Who knows?
Well, in the one sense, it doesn't put Dwight Boone Doty in that alley with Tyshawn Lee.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you know, just the circumstances, the chances.
Right, and he's not the only example out of that. I mean, you know, whenever CPD holds these press conferences, I mean, they haven't done it lately, but whenever there's a press in the last few years, whenever there's been a press conference that's about violence, they'll go example after example of shooting suspects who they arrested who were on parole for a gun conviction in which they only served a few months but were sentenced to like a year or two.
It's like a slap on the wrist to them, it seems.
Right.
They're just going to go and hang out and come back and you know, commit even worse crimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps even get more angry. I don't know. You know, they feel like they've got it. Like you said, they have the sense of revenge. Mm-hmm. And this is what we don't understand in other communities. Are places like Auburn Gresham, where there's a different law of the land. There's a different mentality. That there's mm-hmm. You were talking about the gangs, the rival gangs, and they have sort of branches. I think in your piece you said there's almost like a block by block faction of battles.
Yeah. So I think like the fascinating thing, and as tragic as this was, Patty. I mean, I guess just as someone who covers crime, like what I find fascinating about it is that you talk about the retaliatory nature of violence in Chicago, and this, in the murder of Tyshawn, Breonna Jenkins, is kind of the quintessential case of retaliatory violence in Chicago, because literally a lot of these shootings are tit for tat. You know, you know, one victim's going to be Kilowar, another victim's going to be Terror Dome, and then, you know, it just keeps the cycle just keeps on going.
Well, I hope that there's some way to break the cycle. We thank you so much for covering the stories, for bringing it home to us, keeping it in the forefront, for being a journalist, because we, you know, it's hard to keep everybody going, you know, but we have to be informed. We have to keep reading, and we look forward to having you back on the show. Hopefully, there's never going to be a good time for us to talk, is there? We need to find a good story for you. We need to have, like, just a panel of, like, all the people that cover the sad stuff, bad weather and crime. We need to find, like, happy days for you guys.
Weather's been very good lately, though. So,
well, there you go. Take it where we can. That's Jeremy Gorner. Read him in the Chicago Tribune, and he covers the Chicago Police Department. So a lot of it is learning about these gangs, what's going on in our city. It's important to know. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Like salsa dancing with you, Craig. What is happening right now?
It's Mark Anthony.
Oh, okay.
I need to know.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think you do need to know. I needed to know what Billy Elmer has for us tonight. One of the Cuban players joins us live in the
Allstate.
What did I say? I'm sorry, Billy. What did I?
Sullivan. It's
Elmer. Why Elmer? Why do I have the name Billy Elmer in my head?
Elmer's glue. That is a cool name.
What just happened in my
brain?
Billy,
embrace that last name.
Hold on, everyone, stand by. Hold on. Why did I have Billy?
Think about
do
Elmer.
Do I know a Billy Elmer? Do you remind me of a Billy Elmer?
Try to be a Billy
Elmer. I do. I have a stand-up comic name. They know there's a comic named Billy Elmer. Yeah, there's no reason why I would have called you Billy Elmer. I apologize to everyone involved. Although he did...
From the famous Elmer Glue family.
No, he's a stand-up comic. I work
in
with
studio, Billy Elmer. Elmer.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Billy Sullivan.
Billy, get closer to that mic.
Yeah, well, that's why. Okay, that's why I didn't remember your name. I didn't. I never heard you.
There it is.
And Esmeralda Lawrence joining us upstairs.
Ha-cha-cha.
I'm just going to change everyone's names arbitrarily.
I don't know what we do. We just ha-cha-cha?
That's the weirdest just sort of brain fry I just had. I mean, I know someone named Billy Elmer. No reason I would have called Billy Sullivan that. Because you don't look Irish, that's why. Do you ever get that?
I either get Greek, but I do get Italian. Mm-hmm. But I am a little bit Italian. I'm actually my last.
Are you at all Irish?
I am.
Okay.
On my dad's side. But my dad is the mutt. My dad is Portuguese, Irish, and Italian, and my mom is Portuguese, so that's where the dark, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he touched himself, because that's where the dark, all this covers my body.
Show the hair.
Is that what you were trying to show me, was the hair?
No, I just was pulling the sleeves down.
All right.
Subconsciously, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I don't know what you were going for. Can we start this whole show all over again? Can we go all the way back? What was it, what kind of shoes would Donald Trump wear? What was it, Craig? All right.
I think flip-flops is what we did. No, we land on flip-flops?
It was Rubio we put in flip-flops.
Okay. Dress shoes.
Yes.
Of some sort. There was some sort.
Sneaker?
Billy Sullivan's trying to put this all together in his head.
Yeah, I don't know
I
shoes,
I was on
Billy.
A way in. I didn't know what to think.
Billy Elmer, I don't know any shoes at all.
Billy, I'm so
sorry. I like that. I think that's a cool name.
It's my new Billy stage Elmer's? Name, I think.
You can't have it. There's already a stand-up comic named Billy Elmer.
But if I got to put a middle initial into it.
E? Billy E. Sullivan?
Like Bill E. E. is the middle.
Oh, nice.
What is your middle name?
It's Michael.
It's Michael. That's such an Irish name.
Right. I'm named after my grandfather, my dad's.
Your name is William Michael.
It is. It was when I was in trouble, especially.
Oh.
If I heard the two, I was dead.
Yeah, Griffin wanted to know why parents do that, why they call their children by their full names when they're in. That was also Sullivan. Would they say William Michael Sullivan?
Mm-hmm. If I heard my mother say that, I either ran for it or face the consequences.
No, oh, man. Ran toward her or away?
Oh, no, away.
Away. Yeah. I would think there would be more consequences for running away.
Well, My mother's fast.
She wasn't very.
My mother's a runner, so. And my dad's a runner. And
all right. And you were a runner, so you're all just running around. This is fantastic. I don't know. Where did you grow up, Billy Sullivan?
I grew up in Fall River, Massachusetts, which is about an hour due south of Boston.
Okay. Very nice. And what brought you to Chicago? Comedy?
Yeah. The whole acting, improvising, sketch comedy thing. I'd done a little bit of improv in college, and I'd been acting since 9. And I was in an experimental stage company in college, and we used to do a lot of Second City stuff. And
all right.
That's how I found it. And now I also did a play in college that Steppenwolf had done. So I was like, oh, there's a lot of theater in Chicago.
Just a little bit. Yeah, a little bit of that. Craig, I'm distracted. We had someone with a comment, and they went away. What happened to Donna?
Donna says that she's related to some Elmers, and she wanted to weigh in.
Oh, on the Elmers?
On the Elmer stuff, yeah.
Did she know Billy Elmer?
She loves Billy Elmer, who's in studio right now. She loves him.
I wish Billy Sullivan were here, because he's got a lot of people listening tonight. All of your one friends that were like, I can't stay up that late.
Well, he's back east, actually.
Adam Burns?
Yes.
Adam, we're going to come find you. You're in the podcast, so hopefully you listen to this and go, hey, wait. I got his name right.
His birthday just went by, actually. Yeah, birthday.
Happy birthday, Adam. Okay, so you grew up in Massachusetts, came to Chicago to study acting and our wonderful sketch
scene. Exactly. Went to Second City and... ended
up somehow with Brian Posehn.
I had him as a teacher first, mm-hmm. and he had just formed Cupid shortly before that and had done one show and then did a second show. Went to see both.
So this is a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am a 15-year Cupid. I will be in September. 15 okay. years. Cupid, so.
And you just had someone leave the group?
We did. Runjit Sowery, the great Runjit Sowery. Now I'm the elder statesman. I'm the senior member now, I guess you could say. Us and Brian, of course. But
how do you feel about that?
It's a little weird right now because we had our first show this past week without him. And I kept looking for him, and I'm like, is he here? Is he coming? I mean, it was just bizarre. So I'm like, oh, he'll be back next week, but no.
What has changed over that time? Because I did a little bit of sketch around when you started, when mm-hmm. you came to Chicago. And, you know, obviously, it seems to me that you have to have young people who also know a lot about pop culture, net culture now. They got to know about history. Because my son was going to do, who's auditioning for Bye Bye Birdie. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing sketch comedy and studied at Second City, we did one of the songs from that. But I don't think I know any kids that would, like, right now know the songs from Bye Bye Birdie.
I think you're right. I mean, right? It's done quite a lot in schools and stuff. Uh-huh. We did it
Why
in my
is
college
that?
As well. I don't like the show.
I don't like it, not even a little bit.
I think at the time when it was originally done, I'm going to be all historical.
Please.
I think it was a very much like it personified the time it came out in, because it came out like 1960, I think. Mm-hmm. And at the height of Elvis Mania, which of course that's what it's sort of parodying.
Right.
So it's also sort of like a precursor like to Grease and Hairspray.
Yes.
It's like a style show. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's done in a lot of community theaters. And
if they can't afford Grease, they get Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah, and it's also cleaner than Grease too. So
it's not though that much. It's not at all. I mean, there's a lot of about being still being a virgin.
They mention orgy every 5 seconds.
It's bizarre. It's and the pelvic thrusting. They have songs about that. All the women in town pass out.
Yeah, when it's the weirdest thing.
I mean, like in an orgasmic way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it when I was younger, and then we watch it, and I'm watching it with Griffin, and he's kind of like, why are the girls all acting that way? I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, there are pieces of it that I guess could correlate to today. I know the one, the telephone song, definitely.
Right.
But now it'd be the texting song, if it were anything, or the IMing thing.
And that goes with what I was asking, because, you know, from when you started, there wasn't, you know, the social media so much. Yeah,
not everyone had a cell phone back then. I mean, this is 2001 when I was in class, and I joined Cupid in 2001, and I had just gotten a cell phone for the very first time.
Right, one of those big ones, like a brick phone. Like a flip thing in the bottom.
I had like the Nokia brick. It was like you could have like broken glass with it. It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, and then now fast forward how about the sort of content, you know, with social media aside, because there was a sketch they did for Sketchfest where they're trying to, and Craig denies it, that every man has tried to do this to himself.
I just had to jump into that number, actually, because we just put it into the Saturday show. No. So I actually
have you been
to,
stretching?
Well, you know what?
As the elder statesman,
yes,
what kind of insight and perspective do you bring to that sketch?
Well, it's kind of funny because I remember Chris pitching it a while back. Mm-hmm. Not a while back, but I remember because I sat in before, because I didn't do the Sketchfest show this year. I sat out of it. But I remember him pitching this once before. And it's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song about guys trying to please themselves.
Pretty much. And then so...
But most men, you know, but orally. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Sorry, Craig.
I'm not offended by the words.
I know you're not.
I'm just not interested in the end goal that some...
Right. So Chris pitches this and you're sitting
there.
And
of course, it's ripe for Cupid. I mean, I will say, as far as content goes... I was known as the clean one.
Right.
Runjit before me, because Runjit comes from a very smart, clean place. And I came in, the first song I ever wrote for Cupid, way back in the dark ages, was a song called Like It or Not. And it was basically a song chronicling how I am turning into my dad, whether I want to, well, I can't stop it. So it was an idea that I came up with in class at Second City, but it kind of just fell by the wayside. And when I joined Cupid, Brian urged us, he's like, go into your life, so what are you writing about? What are you dealing with? And I was dealing with that, because I found myself doing things that my dad did, and I was only 28 at the time.
Right.
And I'm like, I do that, and everybody does it. So I kind of made it, I was inspired by writing, I actually wrote it to the Greatest American Hero theme.
Okay.
But when I brought that in, I said, we got to change this, we can't use that, I want to do something like it, so... That's how it happened. And so it's changed. I mean, it's still, I think, as far as the core belief system, if that's not what I want to say, but is that it goes, what's going on in your life. I don't know if Chris does that in his life, but.
But wait, so what were you thinking when he proposed the song?
Well, like I said, he just kind of like did a little bit of it. And then when I saw it in performance, I'm like, oh, I remember him pitching that. And then, of course, now that it's in the Saturday show, Brian's like, you have to jump into it. I'm like, all right.
Okay, sure,
and
that's happening.
And I mean, it wasn't like it was really hard choreography to learn. You can kind of make it up as you go. But
right, you can pick your own position,
I
guess.
So I just had to walk out, and I was like right next to Brandon, I think. Craig's dying.
We've done research. I mean, there is a percentage of men that can actually do this.
Oh, I'm sure there, I mean.
It's like 1 in 400 or something like that. I just don't know, you know, obviously you don't want to be on stage and find out that you're one of the 400.
Right.
Hey, wait a minute. Excuse me, everybody.
Song just stops. Hey, I did it.
Success. Because it does seem like that's the goal. Because everyone's kind of rolling around. And
it's just, I think that now that I've been doing it for the last couple of weeks, it's pretty funny to hear the crowd's reaction, because they're like, what? So it's because the song starts off with this, I've never done this, done this. And then bam, the crowd's like, oh no. And then they see us standing back there, and then they see us starting to stretch, and they're like, oh no. And yeah. Then the pants drop, and it's just.
I do. That's one of my things about Sketchfest, is that for some reason, a lot of the groups try to find a reason to drop their pants.
Mm-hmm.
When did that start, Billy? Well, was that popular in 2001?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I mean, the whole pants falling thing is a. I mean, clowns did that back in the.
That's
old
true.
Days. I mean, it's always a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a bit of a shocker.
We've just kind of taken it to the new millennium, Mike.
Right, what's left?
Right.
Well,
where else? Where do you go?
Right, where do we go from here? We are hanging out with Billy Sullivan, knee Billy Elmer. I don't know why I called you that. I don't even know what happened there. But we'll try to dissect that when we come back. We've got a recorded. We have a recording for the Cuba Players Lullaby. And I look forward to hearing more about that when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Billy Sullivan, one of the Cupid Players. Cupid Players are at Stage 773 every Saturday night for Cupid Has a Heart On. And you can go to Cupid Players. Go to stage773.com/CupidPlayers for ticket information. Are you performing this Saturday?
We are off this week.
Except for this Saturday. So that's, you know what? Let's just go ahead and dismiss him right now and just call Anna Belleval. Should we call Anna now or should we call? I don't know what time to call her. Is it better at the end of the show, Craig? I think we call her at the end of the show.
I like doing it at the end of the show.
All right, then.
It's our pretty late, pretty early wake-up call.
What if we called her too early and, like, she had a few more minutes of sleep?
Anna Belleval, to me, seems like the kind of person that's very prepared for things.
Yeah, she's
so I'm guessing she's been awake since about 11, since the start of the show. She's heard the whole thing.
Right. Do you think so?
Yeah.
When was she sleeping?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like a Patty Vasquez, maybe she only sleeps when she's in a car.
That's true. I feel so bad for people who like give me rides places because they're talking to me. And I'm like,
no, I'm the same way.
Yes.
I think it's that movement.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
For babies that puts babies to sleep.
Oh, we're just giant babies, aren't we?
We're big toddlers,
right?
You and me.
It
I think that's
back.
Accurate. That's what I've been told in meetings. I'm just a big toddler. I just throw things at people for attention. You have a piece prepared for us.
Yes, the music is pre-recorded, but I'll be doing it live. So
okay. Oh, okay.
Yes, I've got it here.
All right. So do you want to give us a little bit of an intro to it, or do you want us to be surprised?
I'll give you a little teaser. It's about someone in the news, and yeah, it was.
Okay.
Someone
in the news. Let us find out
as
it unfolds before us.
I won't even read the title until the very end.
All right. Very good. So we have to cue something here? All right. To Craig.
Hi, Patty.
That's Andy. Good night to the golden boy. You're leaving the game. And football as we know it just won't be the same. It's the end of an era. The seasons did fly. So now is the moment for a proper goodbye. There will be no more Sundays. Excitement brouhaha. Gone now are the Mondays, and you yelling Omaha. It's been quite the career, not at all shabby. Now you're off in the sunset, just like Downton Abbey. And the years took their toll, your arm went kaput. There were interceptions, don't forget that bum foot. But keep your chin up, forever the mensch. Even that time when coach gave you the bench. But you won Super Bowls. First one, then another. A feat made before you by your own little brother. You did it first with the Colts when you battled the Bears. To you, it's just history, but Chicago still cares. Then last month there with Denver, with your defense you jammed. Defeated the Panthers. You overtook Cam. Then you made a decision, after wins and defeats, to go out on top, to hang up your cleats. But your career isn't over. These things go in cycles. You can still call the plays, but now from the booth with Al Michaels. Don't forget your commercials. You can still do that on the side. Bud Beer, Papa John's, and there's always Nationwide. So I offer these words, not to slander the man, which is hard for me to do from this Patriots fan. You're a Hall of Famer for sure, so I won't be all shady. But be real, face the facts. We've still got Tom Brady. So who knows what's ahead for you? What kind of future you're planning? So good night, number 18. Good night, Peyton Manning.
Aww. Yay. That was, see, and he was apologizing earlier that it was more of a bedtime story, but that was how this all started, was
yeah.
Bedtime news stories. That's perfect.
That was kind of classic.
That was kind of classic.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed
that
very
segment.
Much.
Yeah, very nice.
And so and coming from a Patriots fan,
yes.
Saying a lot.
And I had to really hold back because as I was writing this, if you see in this folder, I have the 34-page Wikipedia page for Peyton Manning.
Were you doing research on all this?
I was doing research.
Trying to find words that rhymed?
That's all his stats.
I'm going to go through all this. Okay. All right, then.
And I also have the transcript of his retirement speech.
Oh.
So
yeah, you put a lot of work into this.
I did.
Yes, you really did.
But I didn't. I was going to go. I didn't know how.
Do you like the math on how many years he's been playing? That was right here.
Yeah.
He showed his work.
Did he?
I did.
Yes, he
carried
did.
One
yeah.
Stuff.
Well, because they said 18, but I'm like, it's actually 17, but they're counting, I guess, with the new year. So.
Into this year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
but it's not
18. It's not really 17. It's kind of whatever.
It's not 17 seasons.
No.
It's just 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
So it's kind of...
I'm with you on that.
And
their math is shady.
Yeah. And there were like things I was going to go into is like, but I didn't want to make light of certain allegations that had been brought against him. I didn't want to do that. I couldn't find anything that rhymed with HGH.
Oh, that's recent too. Like,
yeah.
Where was that for the last 17 years?
Well,
did he put his... He
they
put
buried
his,
it.
He, yeah, they did. Which he tried to do on one of the massage physical therapists.
He was a trainer in his college.
Yeah. That's...
And according to what they've been saying is that he basically ruined her career.
My God, it's just, okay, maybe it was time for, I don't
yeah.
know. What a weird thing. But that was I don't mean to ruin the bedtime news story,
no.
But going, didn't he try to put his sack on a woman's head? I don't know what happened. That's basically what the story was.
It's time for the news.
That is one of the allegations.
Billy Sullivan from the Cuban Players, thank you so much for the bedtime lullaby.
Thank
you
for
our news story about Peyton Manning, which I then just, torpedoed
took
right
it
there.
Down.
Took it down to another notch. Nationwide. Thank you so much. Again,
thank
go
you.
To stage773.com/CupidPlayers for their shows every Saturday
yes.
night, except for this Saturday night. Go see Billy trying to, nationwide. Please himself. All right. Thank you so much. And this will be all available on podcast as well.
Thank you, Patty.
Tell all your friends. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and very excited to have in the studio with us one of our regulars, Holly Simon, who is the executive director, creator of I Am Who I Am, and has now written the book I Am Who I Am, which just came out. Very exciting.
I know. Isn't it awesome?
It's very cool.
Holla. The author is in the house.
People must all the time say, I don't know how you do it. I God only gives. It's the one that you and I often cringe at.
Yes.
And I understand they're coming from a good place, but the way I hear God only gives, I always hear it as better you than me.
Absolutely. You're going to laugh your head off when you read this book. So many of those moments.
Well, do you feel like you've been to hell and back, or do you feel like you've been to hell and someplace better? Do you know what I mean? Like it is. Once you go through breast cancer, once you have a child with special needs, and people tell you they act as though your life is over, in both situations, right?
Oh my gosh. Please. I feel like I've won the jackpot in all of these.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? In a weird way, other people would think it was living in hell, and there are days that I am. But for the most part, you see things clearer.
Yes.
And that's the part of the book. Like, you got these gifts that... other people could take, of course, as not a gift, which is a chapter. And I decided to turn it into something profound, hence how I got on the radio. I mean, we'd get to talk about these special kids and make a difference in the world. And I probably wouldn't have been able to do such great things without Nate.
Right. Nate the Great.
I mm-hmm. have to give a shout out to Robin Baumgartner, one of your fans. She heard us on the radio a couple months ago and invited me out to speak on National and the R Word Day.
There you go.
Which was just last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my 39th birthday.
Yes,
again. A couple years of that. And
happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I look fabulous.
You
don't
should
I
celebrate
for 39,
your
don't
you should,
I?
You should celebrate your birthday every day.
I do.
All right, then.
Well, the whole month of March is mm-hmm. mine. I mean, nobody else. Like, I'm sorry if anybody else has a birthday.
Yeah, not theirs. Yours.
It's mine.
Okay.
The whole month.
Every time.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so we went out, Nate and I went out to Pontiac, and we were greeted with 850 students.
How cool.
And adults. Mm-hmm. The president of Special Olympics was also there. Little Nady in the car ride the whole way, he kept saying, "I'm so nervous." But he also says, "I'm so nervous and I'm so jealous," which makes me realize he doesn't know what either of them means, but he knows, he knows it's funny. So he had them in stitches, of course, within probably the first 30 seconds. He was putting bunny ears behind me as I was trying to make a very important speech. And then, yeah, and he was doing these hand gestures, and I knew that there was something naughty when everybody would be in an uproar, and I was trying to say something real serious. But this Robin Baumgartner is a special ed teacher out there in Pontiac. Honestly, Patty, of all the places I've been and all the people I've met, I don't think I've ever met anybody quite like her.
She's not messing around, is she? She ain't playing.
I've never seen anything like this. They had 850 kids come out to this. This small town kicked ass.
That's great.
They did a poster contest, 600 entries. It was magical.
Do you remember the one? Which one won it was, the?
Yeah. I'm going to get this after the break because they had the coolest slogan, and I don't want to get it wrong, so I'll look it up after the break. It was magical. Yeah, I took a photo of the winning poster. Mm-hmm. These kids rocked it out of the park, and the teachers rocked it out of the park, and okay, they gave me a standing O. Come on. And then they sang happy birthday to me.
See?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to top this 39th birthday.
I know. It's going to be no surprise parties for you. It's going to be a standing ovation every room you walk into.
Okay. For the month of March, yeah, for the month.
I'm sorry, I didn't stand up when you came.
Way to go, Pontiac. Holla, here we are. Holla. Way to go, Pontiac. You really, you did me good. You did me proud. I'm really proud of all of you.
Well, for those who have heard you just mention that this is, the day for spread the word to end the word. Every time we say the R word, I get a texter who asks, "What's the R word?" And then we're forced to have to use it, and I don't want to do that anymore. Google it. Google R word. I was, and here, I'll tell you, well, you'll hear it now in the story. I was at this Marine Corps boot camp last week, and the very first night I was sitting down having dinner with some of the Marines, one of whom was, a drill instructor. And I asked him, "When do you know when someone's not going to make it?" And he goes, "Look, sometimes you just know you got a handful of retards." And my stomach, I flinched and I felt bad. I wanted to say something right away, but I thought, you know what? I know I'm spending the week with these folks. So I'm going to find the moment. And I actually went back to my hotel room and cried because here I am. I worked myself into tears because I start thinking about, like, what am I going to say to him? This is I'm going to show him a picture of Declan and explain to him all these things. And part of it is, here's this, these amazing men and women who I admire and I respect, and they are perpetuating something, and they are people we all look up to and admire. And he's teaching hundreds of young men that this is how you are, a word you should use. And then I thought, Declan's never going to have this opportunity. It's not something he, path in life he will ever have access to. Mm-hmm. So I put it away because I thought, I'll find a moment to talk to him. I didn't want to do it in a way that was chastising or, coming at him hard. We became friends over the week, and some people had actually complained about our drill instructor that he was unapproachable. And so he started hanging out with me because I'm very, I'm kind of loud and I was always really cool with him having conversations. And he told me it bothered him that people were complaining without coming to him and sort of presenting that. And I said, funny, you should say that.
Awesome.
So I showed him a picture of Declan and I said, I'm not telling you what to do. I just have a request. Okay. When you use that word, I would like you to once in a while think of this little boy because I was on a playground and a little girl asked their mom, "What's wrong with that little boy?" And she said, "He's just retarded." And I went over to the mom and I said, "You know what? He's just Declan." So, it was just one of those moments. And he was so grateful. I don't know if I'll change him or not, but he had questions. He wanted to know about Declan. He wanted to know what had happened. Right. I told him how Declan was born without part of his brain, that he wasn't breathing when he was born, that, but he loves water and he loves a dance and he loves the cuddle. And, whether or not I changed him, at least hopefully he'll think.
You educated him, though.
He'll
you
think.
Did. You educated know? Him. And I pray that you did school him enough to where he will stop. One of the parts of my speech is, it's not necessarily the word. It's just a word. It's just letters that make up a word. But again, it hurts. And we have to learn as a community that it's making fun of someone. This is a part of a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It's about bullying and
marginalizing.
Making someone feel, other. Of course, out of place and unwanted and unloved. And it encompasses, for us, You know what's funny, Patty? Before I had Nate, I still despise that word.
Yeah, me too.
We've talked about this. There's other words in the the dictionary or with a capital letter that I don't say. I don't allow it in my house. I never did.
Well,
this
drill instructor would never stand in front of his platoon and call anyone the N-word. Like, and I noticed some people are like, oh, well, you can't say they're the same. To us,
Yes, you can. And it's funny because it isn't usually put towards Nathaniel or Declan. It's to make fun of someone else. Like, you dress so retardedly, or you act so retarded, or you're such a tart. I mean, it's such a slang that this generation.
It's become secondhand.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
And that's what we're trying to say. No, you're spot on that it can't be. It can't be secondhand. It can't be just a knee jerk. Mm-hmm. It's a hurtful. If God forbid I ever said the N-word, which I never would, I can't imagine how my friends would react. So I was trying to educate these kids that it makes you, the user, look uneducated.
Yes.
It makes you, of course, and it makes you look ignorant. Mm-hmm. And now that you've been schooled, now that I gave you this small lesson and you met Nathaniel and you've heard about Declan, just do me a favor. It isn't just about banning the R word and ending the R word. What I beg of all of you is to stop somebody just like you had the chance to do and educate. Mm-hmm. Don't just perpetuate it by silence or maybe just by you not saying it. But please school somebody as gently as you need to be. You know, you were much kinder. I would have probably, kicked him in the nuts and then carried on.
And again, he would have appreciated the directness because he didn't like any behind the scenes complaining.
Right. Yeah. But that's like the greatest part. We just have to make sure that other people will stop that flow because it just has to. Our world has got to get better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get political with you because I'm probably the least political person in the world. But when I watch some of these ridiculous debates and
doing an impression of a disabled reporter?
Of course, it was a month ago. Yeah, yeah. It's been despicable, but we laugh and people think it's entertaining. And when did making fun of and the woman reporter, the beautiful woman that he made fun of, and you? There's nothing you can say now that's intelligent that I will believe or respect or understand because you've just lowballed.
Right, and the thing is that, if this becomes your candidate and you don't. To completely distance yourself, then I don't know. I just don't know what to think.
I don't either.
Is acceptable, if this is a representative of who you, the values that you have, that's your candidate. I don't understand.
What do we do? How do we educate? Do I just stop because there's somebody like him that has billions of dollars that will continue to forge forward and make fun of people who are lesser than? Guess what? That gentleman wasn't lesser than, you moron Trump, sorry. But you are. Mm-hmm. You're a fool, and you're making us look foolish. And I don't want any letters tomorrow. Come on, guys. All I'm saying is it's got to be a kinder, gentler world.
Right.
And it's got to – I mean, really, the politicians can't
– Unless you're not kind
that?
And gentle, in which case we won't be kind and gentle. Wait, it's so confusing. I guess we have to be kind and gentle,
too. We can
too.
Do this, though.
Yes.
We're good at this.
We're very good. You have your new book, again, is I Am Who I Am. Where can people find this?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. We've got such great reviews already. We sold out our first print probably within about 12 hours. Lulu.com, LULU.com. I Am Who I Am, Holly Simon. You can also go on our website, www.iam-whoiam.com, and it sends you on a link over as well. I'm so beyond excited to get your review, as there is a Patty Vasquez shout out in there.
Hello. Holla.
Yeah. I mean, you believed in me, you believed in my message.
This is so cool. This is amazing. And you've got pictures in here of your family, of your journey through breast cancer. Let's take a break here. We're hanging out with Holly Simon. I Am Who I Am. Go to lulu.com for her book, I Am Who I Am. And you'll see the fabulous Holly on the cover of that. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with our wonderful guest and one of our favorites, Holly Simon, who has just come out with her book, I Am Who I Am. You can go to lulu.com to purchase that book. They're out of their first print, so you'll might get
Isn't
a day
that
or two.
Awesome?
That's very cool.
Gosh, you know what? I'm blessed with some great friends.
That's good. Some good stuff.
Some and funny.
Well,
you
some
know
good
what?
Stories.
Funny stories. You're,
well, the thing is that you're very honest. I think that's what people are drawn. There is not an disingenuous moment or a follicle or molecule or any part of you. You are completely genuine, authentic. What?
I don't know. I think I'm really emotional tonight. You just made me cry again.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
That is really sweet. Can you say that again later on break so I can write that down?
I don't know. I was making it up as I went.
I really like it.
I mean, I meant it, but I don't know what...
Well, just listen to it on the podcast.
Every part of you, down to the electrons and the protons and the... Yeah, although I said all the atoms of you,
thank you,
are authentic. There's no disingenuous about you. You get what you get and don't get upset. That's what we say in our house.
That's probably why we get along so well.
Well, that's the thing. That's right. There's and because you're not gonna take no for an answer.
No,
which is or can't or won't or never. You don't take that for an answer.
Absolutely not.
Because you know why? Holly don't play.
Well, really, should we? I don't play. I'm gonna get that on my next tattoo. We didn't talk about that.
Your next tattoo.
You ready? Look what I did last.
Hello.
Week.
What'd you do? Oh, a little bit lower. Lower. Show me what you got. Ooh, this is beautiful. This is like a flower or?
I don't know what's happening. I don't know. I went in with a little teeny design idea, and now I have.
You know, it's about 6 inches long.
Back tattoo.
I'm sorry. That's gotta. If that's not out of context, I don't know what can be anymore. I can't play Nick D's games.
It was a celebration. Like, hey, I can do this. Someone mm-hmm. said on Facebook, why? And I said, well, because I can. Mm-hmm. And so I went in, like I said, with this little bitty idea. And the lady was like, oh, okay, sure. Hold on a minute.
But where did you get the idea? Was it like in a magazine? Like,
well, about 40...
tattoos for Southsiders? What was it?
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
You're going to get a lot of calls on that one.
It's beautiful. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I don't know what the...
Right.
Maybe it's Southside Pride. I don't know what that flower is.
Wow. Well, I am an Oak Parker, so...
Is Oak Park Southside
no,
or West?
It is
it's West.
Not.
I'm so sorry, Oak Park. But you live in Beverly.
Well, I'm married into Beverly.
It doesn't mean... you sound like you're there against... You're not there against your will.
I did go against my will, but thank you to all my friends
now
who
you're
going to
get the phone calls.
Loved me. No. That's a part of the book, too, that I came crying because mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd find my tribe. I didn't think anybody would like
me. Oh, you Southsiders are not messing around. That is a tribe, and it's hard. And the thing is that they are always looking to gather more people. They're like, that's not?
Well, I think you're either in or you're out.
Well, like, they want you or they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right, then.
It's like you're related.
They keep trying to convince me to move there. Do they just want me to be there so they can point and laugh at me?
You could be a Southsider. I could see that.
No, I don't know how to... The streets are all numbered. They don't have names. I live in a neighborhood where all the streets are M words.
If I could do this, you can do this. But I will tell you, it was my first year there, and I was pregnant with mm-hmm. Lindsay, and I was craving a Bialy so badly. And I remember turning to my husband and being like, please go get me a Bialy. What the hell is a Bialy?
What is a Bialy?
So they had this restaurant pop up on 95th Street, and my Southsiders will know. I think it's in Evergreen, and it was called Bialy's. And I was beyond thrilled. So I called the restaurant. I'm like, hey, listen, I need about a dozen Bialys. They go, well, we don't carry Bialys. I go, why the heck would you call the restaurant Bialys? Well, we have one on the north side where we do have Bialys, but nobody on the south side would know what a Bialy is. Cut it out.
I don't know what a Bialy is.
It is. Oh, I'm going to bring you some next time. It's a very dry, flat bagel.
Okay.
With some onion in the middle.
Mm.
And I just was over at Manny's with my favorite Jen Kramer.
Nice.
Getting a beautiful Bialy with corned beef.
Very. Now I'm all hungry.
Sorry.
Can we order some Grubhub Bialys? Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens.
Fabulous.
Jen, were you at the Polar Plunge?
You know, I had bitten off a little bit too much this year with the back tattoo mm-hmm. and the book. I did not make it to the plunge this year. I did hear my friend, or actually Nate's friend, Lady Gaga, was in.
She was there.
I would like to talk to her soon about the I Am Who I Am campaign. What I'm seeing is her in concert with 1,000 kids coming on the stage when she's singing, what was it? Born
This Way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you see it with chills?
Like, not about thousands. It depends on the fire hazard and the sort
right,
of
50.
Yeah, the structural integrity of the stage. I'm
okay,
not sure.
Two. But yes, but that would be magical. No, it's not like a slideshow behind it.
Right.
All of our abilities.
In the same way that she, I think, struck a chord with everybody during the Academy Awards. And
she's talented.
Yes. No, I agree. I think that, again, it comes down to sort of normalizing, making mm-hmm. people aware that this is something that we, you know, we're here. You know, don't talk about us in whispered tones. Don't look at us with you know, pity. I get it. I get that that's the initial reaction when you see my son and you wonder how did that happen, or that looks like a kid who's never going to take care of himself. Declan will never live independently. But, you know, we love him, and he is such a sweet kid. Yeah, I think you saw my post where he has this new communication board, and he mm-hmm. and for the first time in his entire life, he asked me to let him play.
Yes.
And he never had asked for that. You know, he just would like kind of whine and cry if I was making him do something, and he pointed to the board. saying, I want to play.
Huge.
Never asked. 10 yeah. years old and never told me he wanted to play.
Isn't it beautiful?
It was so cool.
Things people take for granted.
I know.
We get these gifts. Yep. It's fantastic. Yeah, you know what? I'm sure you're listening, Lady Gaga. And if you could please just give us a call.
That would be really good news if Lady Gaga was listening.
Well, somebody
Every break now from the rest of the show has to be a Lady Gaga song, please.
Yes. Lady Gaga, if not you, your boyfriend's listening. There's no doubt. Somebody from Chicago Fire is listening. We'll connect.
There you go. Oh, that's how we start. We should get we should get a couple people from Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and start there. Here's the thing. Maybe it's not. We have to find out what Lady Gaga likes to listen to. Maybe she doesn't want to hear herself. We have to find out who she's inspired by. Craig will be on that. Holly Simon, you can go to lulu.com for her book, I Am Who I Am. Where else can people find you? What do you have coming up before we let you go?
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what? I'm actually going to California next week. I'm going to do a couple book signings in L.A. I've got a couple little secrets, as I always do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what's next. I actually took a little break for the month of March to celebrate this exciting
book
launch.
Well, happy month of birthday.
April 2nd is my book launch party.
Okay,
please, everybody, come on out. O'Rourke's office, 110th and Western.
Okay.
In beautiful Southside Beverly.
All right, well, come see us before that.
Oh, of course. Oh, fabulous. Okay, so April 2nd, 7 to 10, put it in your calendar. Gaga, you can come. Of course you can.
Bring I think it's boyfriend. Required at this point.
Okay.
He's got beautiful eyes.
Oh, gosh.
So pretty. So do you, by the way. So does Nate. Nate has the most gorgeous green eyes.
Thank you. Windows so to pretty. The world.
I'm saying. We have to go to Springfield soon, too, but more after that. More in a couple weeks because they're taking a break. They're all bored. That's Holly Simon. Go to lulu.com for I Am Love Who it. I Am. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Another beautiful day. Hope there's another one ahead of us. I have not shopped for a property or gone looking for a new apartment in a long time. We've lived in our property for 15 years, so it's been a while, although we did briefly toy with the idea of moving to a new home around 2007, right before Steve lost his job. So had we bought a new place, it would have been tragic. But I know one of the places we really liked was in Edgebrook. But it was one of those things where we walked in and we thought, oh, we got to rip out this carpeting. We got to take these mirrors down. And there are things that you think about altering and whether or not it holds you back from buying a place. Basement, the smell of the basement, you know, if it smells musty down there, you know, maybe there's water damage. Esmeralda, when you look for a new apartment, what kind of things catch your attention that kind of maybe drive you away?
Ooh, that drives me away. Well, now because I sold my air conditioner, no air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
No central air.
Yeah, central air is key.
Yeah.
I mean, we may not have long summers, but we have brutally hot. Not for you, Craig?
I'm told it's not important.
What? Oh, right, because of your wife, yes. She's not a big fan of the central air.
So we don't have central air, and we didn't in the apartment before this one and the one before that. Ever since I've been living alone with my beautiful wife, who's from Mexico, she has been very anti. Even getting the window air conditioner is a no.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
They have an air conditioner.
We have fans. Ugh. They're in the house.
Fans just blow hot air around.
These are arguments I've made.
I know.
And then I'm told that I'm wrong and I have to be quiet now.
No, I'm spoiled. I grew up with air conditioning.
Yeah.
Central air, so I knew.
I'm an American. I did too. I mean.
Well, I grew up with a window air conditioner. Really hot summers.
You just got to sit right next to it.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time at the pool. Nord Park pool, swim in there.
And getting ice pops out of the fridge is always great.
Yes. You know when you put them on your neck? You know when you freeze a, like, 2-liter bottles of pop? But not the pop. Fill them with water.
Yeah.
And then you sleep with them.
Mm-hmm. You know what I heard?
That's what I do. I don't.
That's awesome.
I heard what's refreshing. Stick your underwear in the freezer.
It's so refreshing.
Wow. Never
not while you're wearing them.
I mean, I haven't
just
done
get
that.
In there.
I haven't done that since I was a kid. And like you said, Patty, we didn't have the air conditioning in the house. So, but that is really great.
Yeah, two liter bottles filled with water, and then you just put those around your body.
Yeah, you got to put the underwear in a baggie, though. I was told as a kid because you don't want that mingling with all.
Yeah,
your
please
stuff.
Don't. Yeah, you don't
but
want your
clean.
Ice cream.
I know, but I was still told that can't mingle with the other.
Psychologically, it's damaging to think
you
that
you get a little Ziploc baggie, pull the underwear out, put that on.
To take a bite of ice cream and not go, this tastes like crotch. So I don't know why that needed. Well, maybe that's why I've got this on the brain. So there was a home in Oregon. This couple was looking for a new place, and there are laws in Oregon about what the realtors have to disclose about the property. Apparently, they don't have to investigate whether or not someone's been murdered. In some states, you do have to reveal that kind of information. So this couple shopping for a new home, and they really love this one property, but for some reason there's a door that's locked, and that's mysterious. It's kind of weird to them. But they decided, you know what, we're going to go ahead. We want to go ahead and find out what's behind this door. Turned out, Esmeralda, it was a sex suite behind this door. The previous owner used this room for exploring sexuality, whether apparently just bins of porn and velour reclining seats, blood red walls, and copious amounts of adult toys.
Now, wait, these people had already moved in?
No, they still decided to go ahead and buy the property. They found out. They asked the realtor. They needed to find, they didn't have the keys while they were showing the property.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So.
Well, I could understand that. Locking the door.
Yeah.
Because there's, stuff in there.
Yep.
Because if it was just a big old red room, you'd be like, oh, this is classy.
Exactly. But there was still stuff in there. Yeah. They were ready to make an offer on the house, but they just wanted to know what was behind these doors. So they still were already in love with the property. Just want to know what's behind these doors. Apparently just want to make sure there isn't damage back there. Like it should now finding out there had been a fire there. Maybe some electrical issues. Nope. It's just a sex suite.
A different kind of fire.
Yeah. Different kind of, a lot of heat going on back here.
I mean, you just got to wash the walls.
That's right.
And then you're fine.
Yeah.
The walls?
Just spray. I don't know what's going on in there, man. Yeah. It's a whole room of that.
So apparently the real estate agent called them, and their real estate agent happens to have an English accent. So here's the thing. That's where he keeps his porn and sex toys and other stuff he doesn't want you to
see.
Let's
all do English accents.
Does that turn you off to the house?
Are you still going to buy the property?
Are you still interested?
Don't back out completely. Mm-hmm.
The wife was wondering if there were swings hanging from the ceilings.
Oh, no.
But otherwise, they shrugged it off. That happens.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it wasn't a part of the contract, like, sex room must stay. I would be fine.
Sex room untouched.
What a weird binding contract that would be. Don't do anything to my sex room.
Right. I mean, the big Tupperwares of porn will be gone.
I get to live in my sex room. You know, Hef is selling the Playboy Mansion, but he gets to stay in it. Mm-hmm. That's in his contract.
Yeah,
that's... So these people could put that in their contract.
Does he have just walk by? Hey, Hef.
Yeah, hey.
That would be cool, though.
I know.
Although I hear that place is gross.
Yeah,
I feel like it's the same kind of thing.
I would imagine.
No, I hear because there's
a
lot
whole
of...
mansion of sex room.
Well, no, but there's a lot of dogs. And I hear they just poop everywhere.
Oh, that's not
just because they're little dogs and people don't pay attention.
Some people with pets seem to kind of
in the house.
Do they start to acclimate to the smells? And the
I knew someone once, the cat, because sometimes, well, and dogs do this, they rub their butts on the ground, right? And there was just
streaks.
There was
on
the floor, and he was just like, oh, we'll just let my girlfriend pick it up. I'm like, what?
But
why don't you clean that now?
Yeah, get on that.
It was so gross.
How are you not following your dog around with Clorox wipes?
Yeah, exactly. But Hugh Hefner, he's got a lot of money still, right? So doesn't he have isn't there someone that can take care of getting the dogs out of the house?
You know what? Everyone's really, they're older there.
Even the
I was watching that,
the helper people.
Yeah, I was watching that show. He had with the girlfriends.
Yeah,
his assistant's really old. Like everyone's.
He has to hire a couple people on the staff that are a little younger.
I mean, he should, but
get someone to get on that
just to corral the dogs outside for the pooping.
Get out. Just go. Just open the. Can't
That's
just open
a very
the door.
Small. He's got a whole great mansion, the grotto. It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs poop outside.
He's just have one person for that.
Yeah,
I agree.
To chase the dogs around.
If it's a problem, if we define this as a problem, then for sure hire someone.
I mean, I don't think he thinks it's a problem.
That makes no sense.
It's always strange when you see these hoarder shows and people just not letting it pile up. It's,
yeah,
I don't. That's,
I would never want to hoard poop though.
I don't think they're hoard like.
That's
we're
what he's
keep
doing.
This in house. It just happens.
Not, I can't let go of this poop.
If he's not putting it outside and not forcing it out, he's sort of hoarding it.
Yeah, but I don't think he ever sees it.
Mm-hmm.
How does he not see it?
Well, because it's not.
He doesn't look down. Maybe he's at the point where he's like, "This hurts."
Yeah,
look down.
That place is huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Is he stepping in it all the time though?
Probably
not. Okay.
Probably just kicks it to the side. Ew,
so
no.
See, now I think that would be a way that's kind of property you're not going to buy.
No, I would not buy that. And I would not buy a property where any sort of death has happened if I'm told about it. Mm. I don't want any dying in a place that I'm
You know there's
in.
A website.
For has someone to died find here? It.
Has someone died here?
Yeah. Or someone's dead here, or something like that. But you have to pay money, so I'm not about to. But if you're really into it.
Really into it not happening in my home.
But being like just even of natural causes or a murder.
Yeah, I don't want like any, just, I don't want a just ghost passed on around or something. No, I mean, wait. I don't believe in them. But
how old is your building? Do you know?
Don't ask me that, Esmeralda. It's not a new building.
Chicago has a lot of old buildings.
Yeah, what's
buildings,
the address, Craig? Esmeralda, we'll look it up and see if someone's died there.
I'm just saying.
Not.
If it's really old, there's a probability.
It's a pretty old building.
My dad passed away in my building. Downstairs.
Well, I mean, that would be, if it was one of my family members, that might be different.
Okay.
What if it was in the 1800s?
Yeah, ooh.
I don't know. I don't believe in ghosts, as I've said before on the show. Clearly. But I just don't want to open myself up to someone who died about, you know, and maybe they care about the spot. Maybe they're still around.
Yeah, but if you don't
somewhere.
Believe in them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I don't want to open that door.
The energy, this bad energy.
I'm just being safe. Yeah,
you don't want to open that door of things you don't believe.
Yes,
possibility.
Okay. Paranormal stuff. I don't even want to take a chance,
even though you don't believe in it.
I do not believe in it. Do not want to take a chance.
Craig really enjoyed our first one of the first few months we were working together. We went on a ghost hunt.
We did.
Of the Tribune Tower, Esmeralda.
I was the skeptic.
Well, several here, yes. The third floor is or seventh up here in the news and traffic and stuff.
The bathroom,
it's haunted.
Like around there.
Everybody has a story of what's haunted in this building. It's a super old building.
The security guards seem to be pretty convinced.
They are.
I wonder if anyone's died.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Well, there was a guy that like jumped out of one of the floors, right?
I wonder if anyone that spot where you are, Craig.
Someone,
before we all worked here, there was a WGN employee who passed away on the first floor here.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes. I knew him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now I don't know how I was talking about sex suites.
Yeah, that got really
sad.
That turned really sad.
I do like the sort of transformation of the conversation from sex suite to dog poop. To then,
death.
I don't want to be in the same building as someone.
Usually it's the other way around.
I know.
Real quick, I wanted to mention the bump I chose.
Mm-hmm.
I just found we have like a whole set of bumper songs that are all pre-produced for us. And I just found a little folder that said Sexorama on it.
Okay.
And it's got six tracks. And I think these are all from porn.
Can I see? Can I hear? Not see.
Well, the song I played is called Green Door Fantasy.
Okay. Cause
and it's from Sex World.
Okay.
Which I think is...
Like,
if I Google it,
go wow.
Well, no, that's the one.
Let's hear some other porn music.
This was the one I played coming back.
Oh yeah, that does seem
so. And
knock
then,
knock.
This song
pizza
is
delivery.
Called "The Shower Scene."
Okay,
and it's from Debbie Does
so
Dallas.
So dirty.
I feel like I need a shower.
That's
okay.
Where's the conditioner?
This is called "Ravishing Marilyn."
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
I mean, I guess you're the slow buildup.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it could go both ways. She could be ravishing.
Should I keep giving out like the movie title?
Or she's being ravished.
We worried people are going to Google it and have some
fun?
Yeah,
well, this is called Behind the Green Door.
All right.
So I don't know what that... Okay, that's that one. This one is very famous.
That sounds like an all-skate music.
Was that in that movie with
Esmeralda,
Mark
please
Wahlberg?
No. No.
Boogie Nights
right. is not an actual porn.
I know, but they probably use some stuff. So
use elements of this kind of music.
This is from Deep Throat.
Oh. Craig had a tough time saying the title.
That's
of that
the main title song. And then here's the last one. I don't know why we have this.
Because when you have to talk about sexy things.
Right, apparently. This is from the movie Taboo.
Oh, that was very famous when I was coming of age.
And this probably is the oddest title. This is called Hello Mother.
Okay. I feel bad because we're gonna call Annabelle a vault after this. And
yeah.
So these are songs that are in our vault.
Yeah.
Like
not our vault.
Not the Patty Vasquez. Like they didn't like send that to us.
No, a lot of the producers don't know this, but downstairs we have this extra drive just on this computer that has all these bump songs that we...
Was there just a show that didn't last too long that they were just like, nope, hour in. They're like, we need to cut this off.
Name that
Sexorama
porn.
Sexorama is out.
Oh, man.
That's what it's called.
All right.
So there's that.
Okay. So glad that... Now
let's call Anna.
Now we have that in our collection.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants it,
anytime
now you know.
You need.
I'm sure you can find that on YouTube as well.
Hello,
Sexorama.
Mother.
Behind the Green Door. All right, let's call Annabelle Laval and give her wake-up call when we come back after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Wake me up before you go, go, go.
wait.
Oh, man, this is so exciting. We have a new segment on our show. It's our wake-up call for the WGN Morning TV news team. We do what we meant to get to on Friday nights now. One of my favorite people on the planet is Annabelle Laval, and she is filling in for Lourdes Duarte this week. So I know that she's getting up early. She's probably already up, but we want to see if we can talk to her while she's still getting ready for work. We don't know where she is at this part of her day, but Annabelle Laval is going to be behind the anchor's desk on the WGN Morning News in just a little bit. So here's, we're calling Annabelle Laval. Let's see if she answers. Have you ever met Annabelle Laval, Esmeralda?
No.
Annabelle Laval, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Are we on the air?
We are on the air.
We're on the air.
We're on WGN Morning News. Are you already awake?
Good morning.
Dude, I messed this up. I thought I had to be here at 1:45. I think I had to be here at 2:45.
What? You're up way earlier than anybody thought you were going to be there. Why so early?
I don't know, Patty. Okay. I couldn't sleep last night because I was like, okay, I have a bad cough, so I took codeine. I think I missed that window of like falling asleep real nicely.
Uh-huh. Right. So we just kind of soak into the codeine, right?
Yeah, so I was just sitting there nice and relaxed, and at 11:30, I'm like, well, I might as well get up. and yeah, I know. I messed myself up, and I'm like over-prepared now. The scripts aren't even written.
Oh, no. You can write your own scripts. Will they let you do that? Can you write your own news?
Yeah, well, you can adjust. It's a lot. It's a lot of work, so we have writers.
Uh-huh.
But you can make it your own and give it your own voice and so on. So
are you scared
for me,
at all?
It means not use big English words.
Are you scared at all, Anna, of like falling asleep halfway through the news today? Like maybe one of the newscasts?
Don't put that in her mind.
Never mind.
Here's the thing. I'm doing it from 4 to 6. I'm subbing for Lourdes Duarte, and then I have to go do around town. So there is a high probability that around 9:50, I conk out.
You're going to anchor from 4 to 6. What is your around town today?
It's about a resale store for pet stuff.
Okay.
In Jefferson Park.
Ooh, you're going to be in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come see you. What time are you going to be at the pet store?
I think I start at, the first hit would be around 7:55.
Okay. I might still be awake. This is fantastic.
Maybe, Anna, you could switch today's around town to like a mattress store.
Oh.
Just see kind of what goes there.
There's one up there. Yeah.
I don't know. That could be counterproductive.
Sleep clinic.
Sleep clinic.
This is so, I am so upset at myself. And I texted my assistant news director, and she's like, ask the executive producer. I'm like, I don't want to bother her. It's already 6 p.m. I'm just going to let it be. I think Lourdes told me New Year's Day to be there at 1:45. I don't think so. I think it was 2:40. Why do I do these things?
Because you want to make sure you are not late and you're not going to mess up. This is the anchor spot.
I know it's a big deal for me because you know that I am at the bottom of the pile when it comes to anchor choices because we're so many people here, right? So there's so many other anchors that they call before me. So clearly,
Craig is not happy with your position as being at the bottom of the pile.
Anna, we got to get you way up on top of that pile.
Yeah, let's move that pile around a little bit.
Listen, here's the thing. It took, 8 years to put me on the opening credits?
what?
With a Lou Manfredini campaign on Facebook. And so I don't know. I think it'll take 10 more years for that.
Some of your fans at home, like myself, added you to the credits way before you were there, though, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. We did our own digital work. Name? Yes.
Yeah,
we were just, at the end.
After they said everybody else's, we're just like, and wait, you forgot one.
And on above all.
Yeah. Just on our own.
Yeah. Okay, so you got there, you thought you were supposed to be in the makeup chair already, but now you have to wait for that. That person's not even there yet. Who's in the building at a few minutes before 2 a.m.?
Like four people.
Me. Poor Anna. Are they wondering why you're there? But you must just seem so eager. Right?
Which is so sad because I've been doing this for 20 years, right? So it's like, wow, Anna really wants this. And
you do?
I'm wearing rollers since I think I put them on at 12:30. It's going to be the nicest hair I've ever had.
Do we get a selfie of Anna in rollers?
Oh, girl, all the time. You know that. You can go on my Facebook page and it's like, okay. For us, it's part of our daily uniform when you're Puerto Rican. We don't care.
Mm-mm.
You
that
should
happens.
Get some McDonald's breakfast.
Oh, yeah. You're right there.
You know what I did? I had two hard-boiled eggs, and I had them, I sit way in the back of the newsroom,
mm-hmm.
And I had them really early because my husband, Steve, warned me that they stink and my coworkers would be upset. So I thought, I'm not gonna like give that impression that I'm gonna eat this at the desk like Larry and Robin would do, because they, you know, they have total disregard about their coworkers. I thought, I'll stink up back here when there's no one here.
Poor Anna's like worried about, she wants to put a tent over her early morning snack. She's right. Gotta hide herself. You just don't put your light under a bushel, Annabella. While you eat your hard boiled eggs wherever you want.
You know, can I say something?
Go ahead. Just
real quick, I think that we just started doing the segment. We definitely woke up Marcus Leshock yesterday.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure that Anna's going to be our most awake person
we
ever do.
I know. We should really embrace this moment.
Yeah, she's super awake.
She doesn't need to
be. Which
is
very impressive.
Yes.
And I'm having tea. I'm not even having coffee, Craig.
She's having tea. What kind of tea are you having?
I warmed up my vocal cords. It's just ridiculous how prepared I am. Watch me mess this up on the air.
Oh, you are not going to mess this up on the air. And now everyone that listens to WGN Radio is going to watch you. They're going to have Nick Dion in the back, but watching Annabella Val do the 4 a.m. newscast. I'm excited about this.
I can't believe it. I was like, there's something going on. It feels like it's too early, but whatever. You know, I've done this before, but I usually do it for CLTV.
Right.
And they all start around the same time. But, this was a tomorrow. Maybe call me tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll sleep better. Cause
right. I hope you do.
I'll crash. You know what I've done, which I'm sure you've done before? I may take a nap at the pickup line at my daughter's school.